I'm Amy Goodman. Democracy Now! Is committed to bringing you the stories and perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. From the peace activists demanding an end to war, to indigenous leaders fighting to stop fossil fuel extraction and save the planet. Our independent reporting is only possible because we're funded by you, not by the weapons manufacturers when we cover war or gun violence, not by the oil, gas, coal, or nuclear companies when we cover the climate crisis. We count on your generous support to keep Democracy Now! Going. Please make your donation of $5, $10, or more at democracynow.org. Every dollar counts. Thank you so much. We're counting on you. Stay safe. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
The vote in favor of having confidence in Boris Johnson as leader was 211 votes, and the vote against was 148 votes. And therefore, I can announce that the Parliamentary Party does have confidence. Yeah.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson survives a no-confidence vote. Barely, we'll get the latest. Then we go to Uvalde, Texas, as funerals continue for the 19 fourth graders and two teachers shot dead 2 weeks ago. We'll speak with Texas State Senator Roland Gutierrez.
No community should have to go through what the people in Uvalde had to deal with. Families are shattered. We need change in Texas. We need change in the United States. It's my hope that by keeping up this pressure, Greg Abbott will do the right thing. Change the laws so that no family in Texas will have to deal with this again.
As calls for investigations grow, we'll also look at threats to the press in Uvalde, like journalists trying to cover the funerals being blocked by bikers called in by the police. We'll speak to Nora Lopez, executive editor of the San Antonio Express News, president of the National Association of Hispanic Journalists. Plus, we talk to investigative journalist Carrie Blakinger about her new memoir out today, Corrections in Ink, describing her journey from addiction to prison to the newsroom.
I wrote this book to help humanize prisoners, to help humanize people that were in the situation I was in, and to also show people that second chances are possible, and to show what the barriers are to people actually realizing those second chances.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Ukraine's government says more than 40,000 civilians have been killed or wounded in fighting since Russia invaded in late February, with some 3 million Ukrainians now living under Russian occupation. On Monday, President Volodymyr Zelensky said Ukrainian forces are continuing to fight pitch battles in the eastern city of Severodonetsk, but that his troops are outnumbered and losing ground. Meanwhile, bombs and shells continue to rain down on rural communities near the front lines. One person was killed, another injured in the town of Chuvkivka, where residents woke Sunday to the sound of explosions and shattering glass.
You can see for yourself what happened. What else can I say? I have been left homeless in my old age.
The United Nations is demanding an independent investigation into charges of rape and sexual assault committed by Russian soldiers in Ukraine. Pramila Patton, the UN Special Representative on Sexual Violence and Conflict, told the UN Security Council Monday about multiple shocking reports ranging from gang rape to coercion, where loved ones are forced to watch an act of sexual violence committed against a partner or a child. European Council President Charles Michel condemned the findings.
We hear reports of Russian forces wielding sexual violence as a weapon of war. Sexual violence is a war crime, a crime against humanity, a tactic of torture, terror, and repression. Shameful acts in a shameful war.
The European Council president also said Russia was solely responsible for triggering a global food crisis by invading Ukraine. The accusations prompted Russia's ambassador to the UN to storm out of the UN Security Council meeting in protest. Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador has confirmed he will not attend the Summit of the Americas after the Biden administration excluded the governments of Cuba, Venezuela, and Nicaragua.
Y no voy a la cumbre.
I am not going to the summit because not all the countries of America are invited. I believe in the need to change the policy imposed for centuries of exclusion, of wanting to dominate without any reason, and not respecting each country's sovereignty and independence. There cannot be a summit of the Americas if all the American continent countries do not participate.
The Summit of the Americas opened in Los Angeles Monday. It's the first time taking place in the United States since 1994. At the White House, Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said President Biden stood by his decision to exclude Cuba, Venezuela, and Nicaragua.
We just don't believe dictators should be invited, and so we don't regret that, and the president will stand by his principle.
President Biden's still planning a trip to Saudi Arabia in July to meet with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. In immigration news, a caravan of at least 6,000 people departed from the southern Mexican city of Tapachula on Monday, hoping to reach the U.S.-Mexico border in search of refuge. Many of the caravan members are from Venezuela and Cuba, two nations that have been deeply affected by U.S. economic sanctions. The caravan coincides with the start of the Summit of the Americas, where leaders plan to discuss migration. This is caravan organizer Luis Garcia Villagran.
We tell the leaders we are not anyone's currency. We are not going to wait until the Mexican Commission for Refugee Assistance decides on our fate in August. Today, we are not going to allow the National Institute for Migration to take until September to give us a solution. Today, the free citizens of Latin America walk out of this immigration prison that our officials are willing to turn Tapachula into.
In London, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson survived a vote of no confidence held Monday by members of his own Conservative Party.
The vote in favor of having confidence in Boris Johnson as leader was 211 votes, and the vote against was 148 votes. And therefore, I can announce that the Parliamentary Party does have confidence.
Prime Minister Johnson faced widespread criticism after Scotland Yard found his government held at least a dozen parties at government buildings, including the Prime Minister's official residence at 10 Downing Street, during the first year of the pandemic in violation of Johnson's COVID lockdown orders. Johnson described Monday's no-confidence vote as good news for UK. Meanwhile, Keir Starmer of the opposition Labour Party reiterated his call for Johnson to resign. Later in the broadcast, we'll go to the UK for the latest. Back in the United States, House Democrats are poised to pass new legislation this week that would raise the legal age of purchase for some semi-automatic rifles to 21, promote safe storage of firearms, ban the sale of large-capacity magazines. Those measures appear doomed in the Senate, where they would need the support of at least 10 Republicans to break a filibuster. On Monday, Texas Republican Senator John Cornyn said GOP senators need at least another week to nail down a bipartisan deal on gun violence. This comes amidst a steady drumbeat of shootings across the United States. On Monday, Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Krasner said a weekend mass shooting began when two men licensed to carry firearms traded 17 shots on a street packed with innocent bystanders. Three people were killed. 11 others were struck by bullets. Krasner called on lawmakers to take action on gun violence immediately.
Any legislator who is not willing to put the lives of innocent bystanders, of women and children and young adults above their political future belongs out of office. And I don't care whether they're Republican or Democrat.
Here in New York, Governor Kathy Hochul has signed a package of 10 new gun control bills. Hochul said at a signing ceremony Monday the new measures will close loopholes that allowed the Buffalo shooter to evade a red flag law that should have prevented him from purchasing the semi-automatic rifles used in last month's assault.
In New York, we are taking bold, strong action. We're tightening the red flag laws to keep guns away from dangerous people. And we're raising the age of semi-automatic weapons so no 18-year-old can walk in on their birthday and walk out with an AR-15. Those days are over.
Governor Hochul signed the legislation as the U.S. Supreme Court nears a ruling on whether to strike down a 108-year-old New York state law, making it difficult for gun owners to get a permit to carry a firearm outside the home. During oral arguments in November, the court's conservative majority appeared sympathetic to claims that the Second Amendment guarantees people the right to carry a gun for self-defense. Proud Boys leader Enrique Tarrio and four other leaders of the far-right group have been charged with seditious conspiracy over their roles in the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. Tarrio already faced charges of obstructing Congress, destruction of government property, and other crimes. This comes just days after Proud Boys member Josh Pruitt pleaded guilty to a felony charge of obstructing an official proceeding. Pruitt and another man were filmed on January 6th approaching Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and his security detail inside the Capitol Visitor Center after forcing their way into the building, prompting Senator Schumer to run away. In Texas, progressive primary challenger Jessica Cisneros has formally requested a recount in her May runoff election with Democratic incumbent Congressmember Henry Cuellar. As of Monday, Cisneros trailed Cuellar by just 187 votes. Cuellar is a corporate-backed, anti-choice, pro-gun Democrat who's twice declared victory in the race. The FBI raided his home and campaign office in January as part of a corruption investigation. Cisneros said in a statement, quote, "Our movement was never just about the one politician. It was about taking on an unjust system that rewards corruption and corporate profits at the expense of the needs of working people," Jessica Cisneros said. And in Brazil, fear is growing over the safety of British journalist Dom Phillips and Bruno Pereira, a protector of Brazilian indigenous communities, after the pair went missing in one of the most remote areas of the Amazon early Sunday. Phillips is a longtime freelance reporter for The Guardian and other publications. Pereira is a former Brazilian government official. The two were last seen while traveling by boat in the northern Brazilian state of Amazonas, near the border with Peru. Phillips was doing research for a book on the Amazon and was in the region to interview indigenous leaders patrolling the area for illegal miners and fishers. Pereira had recently received death threats over his work. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
Well, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has survived a vote of no confidence held by members of his own Conservative Party. On Monday, Conservatives voted 211 to 148 by secret ballot to allow Johnson to remain leader of the party. The vote came days after Johnson was booed when he arrived at a service to honor the Queen's 70-year reign. Johnson recently became the first British leader to be sanctioned for breaking the law while in office, after a report by Scotland Yard found Johnson's government held at least a dozen parties at the Prime Minister's official residence during the first year of the pandemic in violation of Johnson's COVID lockdown orders. On Monday night, Johnson described the vote as good news for the UK.
So, well, I think this is a very good result for politics and for the country.
Just in, it's
just I do. Just in this sense, I think it's a convincing result, a decisive result. And what it means is that as a government, we can move on and focus on the stuff that I think really matters to people.
For more, we're joined by Professor Priya Gopal at the University of Cambridge, author of Insurgent Empire, Anti-Colonial Resistance and British Dissent. Professor Gopal, welcome back to Democracy Now! Good news for the empire. Can you talk about this no-confidence vote? If just 30 MPs had voted a different way, 30-some-odd MPs, he would have gone down.
Yeah, thank you. Nice to be back. The significance of this vote is that it isn't, in fact, good news for Johnson at all. It is pretty much the first time that the Conservative Party has in any way, even in this very divided way, held Johnson to account for, you know, what has been a very long record of being quite flexible with the truth and for breaking ministerial rules. I think that this reflects a mood shift among voters who handed Johnson a huge majority at the last elections. He's gone from being seen as a kind of Teflon prime minister to someone who is now very vulnerable, and his prime minister.
Welcome back to CKUT. It's time for a little weather. Wednesday, there will be the chance of a shower and a high of 23 degrees Celsius. Thursday, there will be rain and a high of 20 degrees Celsius. Friday, there will be a few showers and a high of 20 degrees Celsius. Saturday, there will be the chance of a shower and a high of 21 degrees Celsius. Sunday will be cloudy with sunny breaks and a high of 21 degrees Celsius. Monday will be cloudy with showers and a high of 21 degrees Celsius. And finally, Tuesday, there will be the chance of a shower and a high of 23 degrees Celsius.
And now for some news you can use. The Native Women's Shelter of Montreal is organizing its annual Spirit Walk. It's to raise funds for the shelter's project supporting Indigenous women and children. The walk starts at 1 p.m. on Saturday, June 11th at the Mordecai Richler Gazebo next to Mount Royal. For more information on how to register, visit the Native Women's Shelter of Montreal Facebook page. And Community Cooks Collective is looking for volunteer drivers who would deliver meals to centers serving low-income and unhoused individuals. If you have a car and want more information, send a direct message to the handle Community Cooks Collective on Instagram. And the St. Ambrose Montreal Fringe Festival runs until June 19th. It's an annual multidisciplinary arts festival where tickets are capped at $15 and artists receive 100% of revenues. For more information on all the shows, visit the official Fringe website at montrealfringe.online.red61.ca. The Fringe Festival is also providing free outdoor performances in Parc des Amériques starting June 9th.
I'm overconfident, and I don't always see the consequence. My ego gets all, think I know it all, but you predict the fall just like you do every time. And you pull me from my vices that give me bad advice, and I know that, yes, I know that. That you deserve much better, I keep trying to get there, but I stumble, yeah, I stumble. And you say, sometimes you're just a stranger in disguise I don't recognize. But baby, well I know I can keep loving you with my eyes closed. I will Sometimes I think that the only thing more stubborn than me is your loyalty. And you always know the right punch to throw to make a man of me. So look me in the eyes, get me down to size, make me realize that I take your love for granted and live on second chances. You know that, but you know that. That I'll be running like a bandit, won't leave you empty-handed, back to you every time. And you say, sometimes you're just a stranger in disguise I don't recognize. But baby, well I know I can keep loving you with my eyes closed. I wear your heart. Well, I know I can't keep loving you with my eyes closed.
Bernard Chenier, and you're listening to The New Spins Library on CKUT.
Hello, lovely people, and welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a bite-sized, informative podcast designed to be listened to in the shower. But in reality, you can listen to it wherever you want, and we mean anywhere.
You can listen to it while you're driving to your 9-to-5 job.
You can listen to it while you're wrapping Gucci Gang in the changing room of a shop.
You can listen to it while you're icing your wedding cake.
You can listen to it wherever the hell you want. What's the point of this podcast, Taz?
The point of this podcast is that we answer the mysteries of the world, the questions that you didn't even know you had. Listeners send in those questions and we do our best to debunk them. Thus far, we've answered questions like,
why does our hair turn grey?
Why do we yawn?
Why do we fall in love?
What's an itch?
Why do we put up Christmas trees?
And many, many more.
This week's question is looking pretty interesting.
Before we get stuck into this week's question, if you too have a question that you would like debunked, send it on over to us and we'll do our best to debunk it. You can get us on social media.
On Facebook, you can just look us up, In the Shower with Taz and Marcus. Or if you're a Twitter kind of person, it's at In the Shower Pod.
If you're an old-fashioned type of guy or gal, you can get us at intheshowerpodcast@gmail.com. We love your questions and we love hearing from you, so please do send them in.
What's this week's question, Taz?
This week's question comes from Mr. Brian Winston, and it is a fantastic one.
All right, what are we talking?
Why do we say cheese in photographs? Cheese! So as I said, Brian Winston from Donegal asked this question.
For any of our non-Irish listeners, if you're in Japan or in Kentucky...
Fiji?
Fiji. You could be in Fiji. Could be in Malaysia.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Donegal is situated in the northwest of Ireland, and they have beautiful but very, very strong accents that kind of sound like a well-oiled machine gun. It's kind of like...
Hello, I'm from Donegal.
I'm from Donegal.
It's also a mostly Irish-speaking county. So again, Marcus, for our non-Irish listeners, can you give us some Irish, please?
Oh, Cain Cuia Wilchu.
How are you?
Cawil ma uctaroicha.
Where is my ice cream?
It's bralom ishbini.
I like sausages. Actually, I got a Facebook message from my old Irish teacher during the week. And it was, of course, in Irish. But she even wrote the name of the podcast in Irish. She told me that she really liked our podcast. And she wrote the name of the podcast in Irish, which is Taz and Marcus Seche. Yeah. Actually, you're half French. What's our title in French?
In the Shower with Taz and Marcus in French?
Yeah.
Dans la douche avec Taz et Marcus.
Oh, that sounds so much sexier, doesn't it?
Doesn't it?
Hello and welcome to...
Dans la douche avec Taz et Marcus.
Ooh. Now we can say that our podcast is multilingual.
I hope so. Maybe that will help us reach a wider audience.
One can dream. Okay, anyway, so this tangent all came from saying that this week's question came from Donegal, which it did. And the question is, why do we say cheese in photographs?
Honestly, you know what? As soon as you brought up this question when we were kind of brainstorming on which ones to do, I became a little bit obsessed with it because, you know, I originally thought, like, my first reaction was like, cheese is great.
Yes.
And I love cheese and most people also love cheese. So when you say cheese, you think of cheese and that makes you happy and you smile in a photo. So ultimately, and that happens in like the fraction of a second. So you're just like, cheese, class, everything's good. And you smile. But I'm guessing it's something, because especially when you think about different languages, like, it doesn't work like that. Like, you kind of, no matter where you are, people say cheese. Like, when you're in France, you don't go like, fromage, while you're taking a photo. Because, I mean, that's a far more guttural, sexy, grunty sound, which is also fair for cheese.
Which is fair. But that's exactly it. So the phrase, say cheese, is all about the structure of the word as opposed to its creamy and delicious meaning.
Right.
Yeah. So a little while ago, you'll remember, we did an episode on why we yawn. If you haven't listened, go back and listen. It's a good one. But we also talked about how yawns are contagious. And an interesting fact that we discovered is how the word yawn forms in our mouth.
So you're talking about kind of like the... the actual what your face does when you say the word yawn.
Exactly. So when we say yawn, our mouth makes the exact shape it would do if we were yawning. And because of this, many argue that yawns are most certainly contagious because when we do...
Yeah, sorry, I actually had to yawn. That was weird. They are contagious.
Anyway, because of this, many argue that yawns are most certainly contagious because when we do as much read or say the word, we are ultimately doing the act.
So are you saying when I say the word cheese, I'll get cheese?
Oh, no, not exactly. If only that was
that was amazing.
Smell a vision, say a vision. But it is similar in what the word does kind of to the shape of our mouths upon pronunciation. So say cheese out loud for me.
Cheese.
Yeah, well, when you say cheese, it opens your mouth and kind of scrunches your cheeks to spread a perfect smile across your face.
Oh, my God. Hang on. Cheese. Wow, cheese.
So the ch opens your mouth, yeah, and the E's kind of draws your cheeks back.
Wow. Do you know what? I really hope that, like, next, you know, like, people are in their showers right now or wherever you're listening to this podcast, all anywhere in the world is going, cheese.
When I was writing this episode, I looked like an absolute lunatic because I kept just mouthing the word cheese to see, like, even to write that description, I was like, your cheeks go back and I was like, doing it. I looked insane.
You know what? I just generally walk around my local shop mumbling cheese as well.
Cheese.
At least you were
mozzarella,
in an episode.
Cheddar.
So, like, okay, it makes your face do a thing, but where did the universal phrase come from? Like, any country I visit, no matter whether it's like Europe, Asia, America, whether they speak English or something completely different, they always say cheese. Like,
yeah,
always, no matter where. Like, in Japan, they say chisu. In France, they go cheese.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In Italy, they go cheese. So, like, this must have been learned really early on because, like, it is a widespread global accepted thing. So do we know where it originated?
Well, no one can say for sure who coined the phrase say cheese, nor can we say with 100% certainty why that particular phrase was chosen as the smile spreader. Like, when we think about it, your mouth does more or less the same shape when you say knees or breeze.
Yeah.
Knees, breeze. But the phrase cheese appears to have been first used around the 1940s, with one of the earliest references appearing in the Big Spring Herald in 1943.
So, like, the first time that somebody, like, can we attribute it to a person that the first person who had this light bulb moment that saying cheese just made people smile? Do we know who it was, or...?
So it comes from the American ambassador, Joseph E. Davis. This is an exact excerpt from the Big Spring Herald. Are you ready?
Go on.
Mr. Davis disclosed the formula while having his picture taken on the set of his mission to Moscow. It's simple. Just say, cheese. It's an automatic smile. I learned that from a politician, Mr. Davis chuckled. An astute politician. A very great politician. But of course, I cannot tell you who he was.
Jeez, Joseph E. Davis sounds a bit like Donald Trump. Like, I learned it from a politician, an astute politician, a very great politician. I'm the great politician, blah, 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 blah. But did we ever find out who that politician was?
It is thought that the politician he was referring to was none other than Franklin D. Roosevelt, who Ambassador Davis served under.
Really? So you're telling me that, in short, FDR came up with the phrase cheese?
Nobody knows whether it was Roosevelt or simply Roosevelt learnt it from someone. But soon after that time, saying cheese became a common phrase for people to utter when trying to get people to smile in photographs.
So we know cheese came about in, like, the 1940s-ish. But do we have any idea of what was said before that? Like, were they like photo, or were they like, I don't know, like, what were they saying? What were people saying as a cue? Because obviously, like, that serves as, you know, a point for the photographer to take the photo as well. So what was said?
Well, that's the thing. Back in the Victorian era, which was from around 1837 to 1901, etiquette and beauty standards were very different than they are today.
So you're telling me, like, people weren't always attracted to duck face selfies or people pretending to stroke their beardless chins in photos?
Anyway, it's hard to believe that we weren't always attracted to duck faces. But no, in Victorian times, a small, tightly controlled mouth was considered beautiful. And during this time, photographers used to have their portraits, say, prunes to produce this controlled look.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So, hang on, I'll try that. Prunes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
If I was in Victorian times, I would find you so attractive, Mr. O'Leara.
I always found that so odd. Like, when I'm being photographed, I want to look like I'm buzzing and happy and excited. But, like, you go to an art gallery And everyone in the pictures just looks like they're having a shite time.
I couldn't agree more.
They look miserable.
I know, so miserable. Some of the reason for this is people in the Victorian age, you know, wanting to look poised and regal. But it wasn't just down to appearance.
No? What do you mean?
Well, during the early days of photography, exposure times weren't as snappy as they are today. The creation of permanent images began with Thomas Wedgwood in about 1790, but the earliest known camera images belong to a French inventor whose name I'm going to get Marcus to pronounce.
Joseph Niesfor Nipse.
In 1826, thanks for that. The photograph entitled View from the Window à l'Egresse.
At Le Gras.
The photograph entitled
La vue de la fenêtre à Le Gras.
Excellent, excellent. It is historically said to have required about 8 hours of exposure
eight
time.
8 hours?
Yeah, and in reality, it could have even taken as long as a few days.
Wow. What, like, people surely weren't expected to sit that long to have a photograph taken. Like, you could paint a portrait in 8 hours.
Well, that's exactly it. So back in the 1800s, the most popular method of taking a portrait was painting. And in the early days of photography, the subject was mostly a landscape or something along those lines.
So then, when did portrait photography come along? Surely the exposure times would have had to be much shorter.
Yeah, so fast forward a few years into 1839, Louis Daguerre introduced a new form of...
Louis Daguerre.
I'm really giving you too much power with this thing.
You really are.
Anyway, Louis Daguerre introduced...
Louis Daguerre.
I'm just going to call him Louis D, okay?
All right.
Louis D introduced a new form of photography called...
Daguerreotype.
So in 1839, this Louis D chap developed this new type of photography where a positive of the image was developed directly onto the photographic plate.
Right.
The exposure times for these types of photographs were about 60
what,
to
what
90.
What types of photographs does?
Daguerreotypes.
Daguerreotype.
Was about 60 to 90 seconds, which was a long time to remain motionless and hold a smile, but not impossible. So around this time, the need to keep a stern facial expression wasn't as important.
I'd say smiling for 90 seconds nonstop would, like, you'd go a bit mad, especially, like, just, like, yeah, trying to sit there. You know what? If you're listening, just try and sit there and smile for, like, even a minute without moving your face.
You just look like the Cheshire Cat.
You look like a psychopath is what you look like. But, like, you know what? Going into the mid-1800s and even the early 1900s, people still hadn't started smiling in photos yet. If, like, you know, the exposure time wasn't so much of a factor anymore, what was the reason?
Well, the second most common reason for people not smiling in photographs in the Victorian era is blamed on dental hygiene.
Dental hygiene?
Yeah. So the most common cure for rotten teeth back then was to pull them out. So there were no caps or other fixes to make chipped or broken teeth more aesthetically pleasing. So many people, as young as in their early 30s, had only a few teeth left. So by not smiling, these people were hiding their terrible teeth.
I never thought about that. But, I mean, like, it must be true. Like, they weren't rocking out a nice Oral-B electric toothbrush with a multi-directional head. This isn't sponsored by Oral-B. I'm just thinking of my own toothbrush. So, like, yeah, so leaving the Victorian era of, like, common rotten teeth and post-smiles behind, what point in history did people decide to not look like they were having the worst time of their lives?
Okay, so fast forward a few more years to 1888, and George Eastman founded Kodak, which changed the face of photography forever because it made it a lot more widely available to the public.
Mm-hmm.
In 1900, Kodak introduced its first pocket camera called the Brownie. Delicious.
Delish.
At a cost of $1, which is about $26 today or €21. And that changed the face of photography forever.
So basically photography wasn't reserved to the elite anymore. Like, anyone could kind of afford it. So it was more accessible. So people weren't limited to, like, superposed photos in a studio, right?
That's exactly it. In fact, the Kodak slogan at the time was, "You push the button, we do the rest." So photography as a hobby was now a possibility. Capturing everyday moments was now reality, and more smiles were captured on film.
That's incredible. So FDR, Franklin Roosevelt, is responsible for the phrase, say cheese, or possibly, it's likely,
mm-hmm.
And Kodak for smiling in photos.
I don't know the certainty of those, but both definitely had an impact. Actually, while we're kind of talking about smiling in photographs, it's also worth mentioning the impact that film had on smiling in photographs. So Early Fillon was obviously silent and facial expressions became of utmost importance.
Of course, because the audience couldn't hear, they needed to see when characters were happy or sad or excited.
That's exactly it. So Fillon really normalised showing emotion in photos, whether that's being happy or being sad or whatever that may be, so, as opposed to saying prunes.
Okay, to like rewind a little bit, when exactly did the duck face become normalised?
Oh God, that is most certainly another question for another
genuinely,
day.
Like the one thing I want to know is like people, you know, if people do duck face and think it's sexy, who has ever looked at a beaked bird and gone, I'd ride you?
I think Daisy Duck's got a bit of something something going on.
Do you think that's it? Do you think it's Daisy Duck?
What a legend if she's had this much of an impact on the world.
She is actually the top influencer in the world. Look at that.
Kim Kardashian, eat your heart out.
Absolutely. So, Tess, any facts to end the episode?
Why, of course I do. First off, cheese production around the globe is worth more than the combined worldwide production of coffee, tobacco, tea and cocoa beans.
Hang on, so cheese is literally, like, bigger than coffee?
Yeah.
Tobacco?
Yeah.
Tea?
Yeah.
And chocolate?
I know.
That's mental.
It's great though. Say cheese.
Cheese. Oh my God. I was really confused where the cheese fact came out. Then I remembered that the actual episode is why we say cheese in photos.
Yeah.
So, one more?
Yes, of course. Every 2 minutes, we snap more pictures than the whole of humanity did in the 1800s.
What?
Yeah.
Every 2 minutes?
Yes.
And they're all duck face selfies.
Well, there you have it. That is why we say cheese in pictures. Marcus, demonstrate.
Cheese.
Now, if you were in Victorian times.
Prunes.
Thank you guys so much for listening. If this happens to be your first time listening to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, we've got a whole bank of episodes that you should listen to. They're all short and snappy, and you can listen to loads in a day or one a day at your leisure. So we would love for you to check them out.
Every single one of those episodes contains information bombs that you can drop at your next dinner party, or when you're chatting someone up, or when you just want to seem a little bit more interesting, or maybe you just want to be a bit more interesting. Who knows? Go you. Power to you.
As we said at the beginning of the episode, if you too have a question, you can get us on Facebook at In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, Twitter
at In the Shower Pod,
or by email at InTheShowerPodcast@gmail.com. And on that note, if you don't have a question and you just want to tell us that you like the podcast, please get in touch, because all you listeners are invisible to us and we'd love to hear from you.
Or you just want to say hi or anything like that, you know, it's nice to hear from you. But yeah, if you could also recommend this podcast to a couple of friends, or your granny or your dad or your teacher, or to just the person sitting beside you on the train or the bus, that would be really, really cool.
And we would love you forever.
Your recommendations do more for us than anything. So please, if you do enjoy what we do, tell someone who you also think would enjoy what we do, and that'd be cool. You're spreading some goodness into the world.
Before we reveal what next week's question is, a few thank yous to round up the episode.
A huge thank you to all the staff in here at Headstuff, Alan, Paddy and the crew. Thank you so much for hosting us on your network. Check out some of the other podcasts on the Headstuff Podcast Network. They are putting out brilliant stuff at the moment.
Next up, thank you to Flo Robinson, who did our cover art. We're visiting you next month in London, Flo. Your art's great and we love you.
Thank you to the illustrious Dave Gertzman, who is a beautiful man who came up with our theme song. Dave, if you don't get a Grammy at some point, I don't know what's going on, man. You are a genius.
Without any further ado, next week's
question. Next week's question. What is it, Taz?
Next week's question comes from Fiona McGiven, who is embodying the New Year, New Me trend and wants to know what exactly happens to our body when we get fitter.
That episode will be ready for your morning shower next Monday. But in the meantime,
keep scrubbing.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
I'm Where Is Luna, and you are listening to the New Spins Library on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Fortunate son.
just like a pawn in a thinking man's game. The simple move that breaks the chain. But as time ticks on by, the spell dissipates. For there is no magic, only tricks. But I got a hole the size of Montreal runs through my soul. I've got to go. I've got to go to find my voice. I hope it's here somewhere. You've become your own satellite in orbit around all that's close to you. So you send a message to see in hope of reaching out to someone just like you. It said if you search, you will find a wonder that sparks a child's will to be free. Let's see how another crack appears. For every man that finds his voice, another's must be silenced for a while. And now it's mine. And now it's mine.
Settled on the stars and moon,
and the moon.
I tell you about me, I hope you tell me what you've been through. Been through. We are the same, baby. Pray for love, yeah. Sunsets in May remind me way more of us, yeah. What's more to say when I've been out different state? Hope I can show you I made it out. Can't hold me down. You told me hold my hand. Just follow me, I'll show you golden land. And diamond water for a hopeless man. And all these things that you know, I know, I know. You said you don't belong here. Those eyes for an ocean view. California dreaming from a city where that's so taboo. We always chase sunsets to settle on the stars and moon. And if I tell you about me, I hope you tell me what you've been through. Yeah, I'm always chasing this high and all the pain in my eyes. Turn cold, December came by. Those storms don't ever break mine. Yeah, I was told to make it right. King of my city, frame white. You held it down on break light. I learned these things take time. Just take time. Hold my hand, I'll change your life. We both make plans. Don't fade alive tonight and tonight. You said you don't belong here. Those eyes for an ocean view. California dreaming from a city where that's so taboo. We always chase sunsets, but settle on the stars and moon. And if I tell you about me, I hope you tell me what you've been through.
Do you think you are? Do you think you are?
Well, that wraps it up for the New Spins Library. Terminal 5 and the Sleepy King are up next.
Bonjour, Sleepy King Radio, 84e émission. Le calme pendant la tempête.